Are you ready for a word, church? Always ready. Today, I would like to talk to you about one interesting realm. This sermon I called At Your Own Fear and Risk. Today, I want to talk about a realm or a sphere, the realm of fear. What is fear? Which role does fear play in the life of a Christian? Which role does fear plays in the life of a man? What is fear? We know that a real Christian, he's not supposed to have fear. He overcomes the fear in love, and in complete love, there is no fear. And in the perfect love, it casts away fear. And we know what is fear. And when I thought about this, we cannot remove fear completely from our life. If you will stop being afraid of everything, you will not be afraid of to jump under a trolley or jump out from a 15-story building. You know, are we going to meet Lord faster if I do this? No, we know that there's element of fear that we need, and without it, we cannot do anything. And there is element of fear. It's correct. It's needed. It's necessary. You will never let your child walk for 4 miles, small child, to school for 4 miles. You will not do harm to yourself. You will never leave your car running outside. You know why are you left it running so I don't have to warm it up in the morning? No, we all understand there's element of fear that will not allow you to keep your car running throughout the night for some reason. You know, first of all, you know, maybe it'll run out of gas, or second, or maybe the car may be gone in the morning. Somebody will drive it away. So somebody will want to ride your car. And we understand there's moments in our life that we must keep a natural fear, the fear that keeps, that saves our life, that helps us to live the correct, to think correctly, to think logically, and not to do stupid mistakes in your life. But, dear church, I want to talk about a different fear, a fear that destroys our life, fear that's not allowing masses of people to get into their calling, fear that stopped all of us at some level, and we are not progressing any farther in our life because something in our life is stopped at some on one point. I will try to talk short today, and I want to just touch a few moments in this sermon. And at the end, we will talk about two types of fear which we all come across. And if this type of fear is present in your life, then your life will not go far. You will never be able to break free and become a person. You will never be able to do what God has predestined you to be. And to complete what you were born for. So at your fear and risk, you know that this phrase I borrowed from the street. You know, this is a street phrase. I will begin from this, which we hear all the time. What is in this phrase? We always say this phrase, in your fear and risk, but we never think about what it means. At your fear and risk, when I remember I was working on the roof one time, and boss told me, I was doing framing, and my boss told me, I need to nail the last pieces of plywood up there, and it was all frozen up there, and he says, let's come back tomorrow and finish it up. But to me, I needed to finish it today. I didn't want to come back tomorrow, you know what I mean? Why am I going to do this because of two pieces of plywood to come back tomorrow when I can just sit in bed and watch TV? And I said, it's all right. And I said, you know, I said, I will go up there and I will finish these couple of pieces. And boss told me this phrase, you're doing this in your own risk and fear, and I have warned you. And I go, and I thought about this. Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. I'll complete it. Yeah, I went up there and I've done it and I finished it. And I forgot about this incident for 14 years. And you know, it was when it happened when I just came to America. So, and now, when I was writing this sermon, you know, I started remembering these things. What did my boss mean? You're doing this at your own fear and risk. He says, so how much fear is in you and how much you agree to risk, you can accomplish this. So he says, right now, all this, it depends only on you. So how much fear prevails over you, and this fear will allow you to do this job or not to do this job. And he says, it's all at your own fear and risk. If you can step over your fear and take a risk, you can complete this job. But this is your choice to make, my boss said. And here's the picture of life. Boss was afraid to go up there. But right now we talk about earth fear, about this fear. And before there, many different things were happening. He needed to survive, and I needed to finish that roof. And then I understood it's better to just live and survive than to finish the roof. But in the beginning, you know, the priorities were different, so I had to finish that roof. And this phrase, it just surfaced in my mind when I was preparing the sermon about the fear. So right now I'm going to talk about a few moments that are very important for every one of us. I want you and I, church, to know what is fear. I'll give you a guarantee immediately. I did not, you know, if I prepared this sermon because somebody needed. And you, at the end of the sermon, you will understand what role fear plays in the life of Christians. And I will tell you, all of us, I don't talk about the natural fear. I'm talking about the fear that we don't need, incorrect fear, the fear that prevails over us. It makes us afraid to go and to testify to somebody. I'm talking about the fear when God told you need to start doing a home group and you were afraid. I'm talking about this fear. And fear isn't, it has an effect on all of us, in all of us who's in here and who's watching us right now on TV. I'll tell you immediately one moment. When I observed the world, observed people, I understood a lot from the principle of this world and success. You know, I noticed all the people, even people of this world, and I'll tell you, this sermon, it doesn't just apply to Christians. It applies to persons, to people. If you're a person, then this sermon applies to you. Are there any people in here? Okay, then I'm in the correct place. Some people will say, I don't need this. I don't care. Everything is okay with me. Right now, I will explain to you in a way that you will say, oh boy, I thought that I had no fear. And I'm explaining to you right now. The fear prevails at some level over every one of us, fear has stopped all of us at some level. So we were moving up to a certain moment. We were growing to a certain moment, and you will say, if the fear does not prevail you, then right now you're prevailing over the fear to make a next step in your life. So if you say fear does not prevail over me, and I'll tell you for the reason, because right now you're trying to overcome it and do something next in your life, something more unique and something special, something different. And I wanted to explain to you that fear must be completely destroyed in the life of every Christian person, completely. You'll say, how completely? I'm not talking about some small fear about falling under a car. No, I'm talking about the fear that changes your destiny. I'm talking about the fear that holds back your life and your ministry. And you'll say, oh, maybe I'll make a mistake in the ministry. I'll tell you immediately, yes, you will make a mistake. If you think, you know, fear holds us back because you and I, we are afraid to make a mistake. Amen, church? We are afraid to make a mistake. And this fear of making a mistake, why did Lord Jesus said, be like children? Have you ever thought about this, church? I'm not talking about, you know, acting like children. You know, like draw on walls and stuff. You know. See, he's fulfilling the commandment of Christ. He's drawing pictures on the walls. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the children, the factor number one. He's never afraid. I'm talking about a normal child. When you will scare the child, yeah, I'll be scared. No, I'm talking about a normal, healthy child. even when watch Dmitry, how he handles his child. He just throws it up in the air, and he's a small son, and he's just flying around, and he's all happy. You know, what if father will not catch him? You know, no, he's not thinking that. He just has a smile, and he's all happy. And father caught him by one leg and just swung him. And I'm looking at him. You know, I was afraid, but the little kid, he was not afraid. He cannot speak, but he's already pulling father's leg and wants him to throw him up in the air. We must understand that children, they have this moment in their life. It's the absence of fear. Amen. It's the absence. Don't touch it. I will still touch it. You will burn yourself. Oh, you know. I know what children are. Who has children? Raise your hand. Who understands me? So you said, don't touch that, don't touch it. Oh, well, why did you do that? And he's all sitting, standing there with pain all over him. See, children have the fear absent from them. And did you notice that children, this category of people, children that it's a category of people who's progressing the fastest. The person who does not have fear in their life, it's a person who progresses and surpasses everybody. My loved ones, do you understand what I'm talking about right now? And my loved ones, the stopping of progress testifies that you, at some period of life, you started being afraid and you stopped yourself. You stopped your progress. You stopped your movement ahead. You stopped your everything in your life, and you are being in the absence of gravity. Right now, what you have obtained, you start guarding it because you got used to it, but there is no movement forward, only for one reason only, because the fear has stopped you. And I give you a guarantee that this is fear, nothing else that stopped you. You know, what holds a person on welfare for 18 years? I know. Everyone started smiling. I'll tell you. I'm telling you, welfare is a government program of bums. I'm serious. It's predestined to help the bums. Somebody wants to contend? Welfare exists for people who have nowhere to live, so they can sustain life. And I'm marveled how some people are there for 18 years to receive welfare checks. And you know what holds them back? Fear. Fear of learning English. Fear of making an appointment. What? You know, I have grandchildren. They'll do everything for me. You know, I don't even want to touch this subject, because all the progress of our life, you think if you'll get off the welfare, you will lose the fear? No, maybe you got off on this point, but you know, you have a fear in a different place. So my mission today is to explain to you that the fear needs to be completely destroyed in your life, but I cannot do it for you. Each one of you must understand that this is your enemy of your destiny and destroy it, or at least start fighting, make steps that you're afraid to make. You need to start doing what you don't want to do. You know, you don't want to make those steps because you can lose your comfort. But you know, I meet people that for 40 years, for 50 years, people, older people, they did not attain anything more in their life than they attained when they were like 20 or 30. There is no new sermons, nothing new. Only life and testimonials about what God has done in the past, long, long time ago. So it testifies that this person for 30, for 40, 50 years ago, he died. And all you see is just this cassette that keeps playing, replaying what happened before. It's just a recording of a person. This is not a person, you hear me? For me, this is just a cassette, a copy, a recording that keeps repeating, oh, I used to have this, I used to have this, I used to have this. I want to turn it off. Because this man has nothing new. Nothing that you can look at or you can emulate or that you can want in your life. You understand me, church? And my loved ones. At your fear and risk, the sermon called. So how much fear is in your life and how much you're ready to risk, that will determine you as a person. We just sit here and we smile. Everything is pleasant and good to hear. But I want you right now to understand that you and me, all of us, we're part of this sermon. All of us. Please notice that everything in our life, everything, is attained only by overcoming fear and taking risks. All of us, we learn this from the childhood. Everything that we have, everything that you have today, listen to me very carefully. You came here in the car, almost all of you. Some were brought over here. You came here. Right now, you're driving this car without thinking that once upon a time, you sat there behind the wheel and it was, you didn't feel good, that you wanted to go to the bathroom in 2 minutes when you were learning to drive. Come on. Are you here? I want to give you an example. I just will give you an example so you understand. Right now, you're doing something that long ago, you made this risk. You had fear and you were risking. You prevailed over risk and fear. You were driving cars slow and people behind you were honking the horns and giving you fingers. But you were driving very slow, like, sorry. What is it? It was you. You're taking a new peak in your life, new height in your life. You think this process of your life will end? Never. Only fear will isolate you. And right now, you're satisfied. You took all the heights that you wanted to take. Right now, you're enjoying that something that that used to be a scary risk for you. Right now, you sit with your spouse. But remember how you met her? My loved ones. Everything was shaking on the inside. You were sweating. Your heart was beating. And you were all sweaty and sticky. You were going to meet her for the first time. And she had the same problems. She was just stood there and like, what does he want? He wants to marry me? And then you go coming back from a date. And it's like you lay down and you have the wedding in your head. Oh, and everything. And your heart just pounds. And now let's go to the park. And you see he gets on his knee. You know what it means? It means he's proposing to her. And all of a, and he's even more shaken. Everything, including in your job, filling out an application. Your first drive in the car. Your marriage. Women, remember the labor. The first, when you were given birth for the first time. It was like in 7 months, oh, I need to go to the hospital. And, you know, when my wife was 7 months, she says, ah, bring me to a hospital. And, you know, we went to the hospital on the 7th month and they sent us back. And in about another month, you know, she had contractions and, you know, the doctor said, don't come back here until it's time. And on the 9th month, we came over because we had to. Who understands me here? Please raise your hand. There is a couple of women. And see, you don't know when it's going to come out. What is it? And you know, we've done all of this. Stepping over some fears in our life. None of you will say, oh no, everything was easy. It's just like a drink of water. Everything was quick. No, it's a lie. There is no person in this world who didn't have to deal with fear. Most of you did not get into your calling and your destiny, but you hear the sermon, so maybe you can later on. God told you one time to do something. I'm talking about a physical fear right now. My sermon is about spiritual fear. In a spiritual world, the strangest thing is, and the funny thing, but this is a fact, there is no even word of overcoming fear. In churches, everything is well, is everything is oiled up and nobody is doing anything. Nobody is doing any. Nobody is opening up anything new except for some small amount of pastors. No one is taking any more risk in their life. No one is trying to conquer a new height in their life. They're just all satisfied and everything is okay. And everything is paid for a long time ago. You know your place in church. You know where you buy stuff. You know where the bathroom is. You know where your children are. And you know where your car is parked. And you know where everything is going on. And then after that, it's only boring and scary life. I'm talking about the principles. Even if you're in the coolest church in the planet Earth, you know, you can move anywhere where there's revival. But if you won't learn to prevail over this fear in your life, even that coolest church will become the boring for you. Because everything in this life, we live through it. And when we live through it, we receive pleasure. Who went on a roller coaster before? Please raise your hand. How did you feel when you got there for the first time? But you know, when you went there for the first time and for the second time, on the third time, you feel awesome. We must learn this law. I only receive happiness when I overcome obstacles and something difficult. So right now I have nothing to compare it to, and that's why I compare it to a roller coaster. Because in church there is no such even word. And when you go and open a new church, you open a new home group, and we start working with people that used to be drug addicts and alcoholics. They receive complete freedom. So for me, it was risk and it was fear. And right now, I'm not afraid of doing this, and I receive, and now I'm content with what I do. You know, Lennon used to have a cool phrase. He says, "Who was nothing will be everything." Special in Transformation Center. And so look, and you and I, we understand that when going over a fear, when we prevail a fear, we will conquer something in our life. We will obtain something by overcoming the fear. Believe me, my life only concludes to take another risk in my life. I'm telling you, I told you immediately, and as I told you before, and I told my wife, I always say this. Every year, once a year, I take a serious step and serious risk at least once a year. Sometimes more, minimum of one time. If you will take it as a rule, one time a year to step over a mountain that you think is not conquerable, about which other people say it's impossible to step over it. You know, and I said, was this mountain conquered ever before? And people say, yes, it was. So why am I different? I dream about being a man to work in a huge corporation. But I know that nothing will work out for me. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? This is kind of mentality. And you stopped yourself. Why do you have a dream and never go toward it? Why do you need to dream or think about something if you're not even moving into that direction? You know, what I notice is, according to children, they draw pictures and they dream. They say, "Father, I want to go to the moon." Well, some of them, maybe if somebody says that, let's pray for them. And normal children, they've seen something, and they draw it. And they said, Disneyland commercial, you know, they've seen it on TV. And a child sits there, and he says, "I want to go to Disneyland. It's only $99.99, the price." He doesn't understand what it is, what he just said. He just said, it feels good over there. And he draws his dream. He's drawing it not because, "Oh, my mom won't let me go over there." No, but because he believes maybe one time his mom and his dad will take him over there. Why did we lose this virtue? Everything in your life, remember, everything in your life was attained only when you stepped over that fear. How did you learn to swim? I can give you many examples that you have done and you prevailed over the fear. If you didn't learn to swim, please come forward. We'll teach you. I'll throw you in the water. prevail over fear, my loved ones. And when I understood that in my life, in order to progress, I need to only prevail over the fear. I need to step over it. I understood the secret of success. I am telling you the gold. Even in a corporation, they will not tell you this for money. Okay, what's going on? And am I here? I'm telling you the sermon, my loved ones, which will be needed not only for Christians, but for a person who wants to live normally. Amen? You look at people that jump with parachutes, and they ask, people ask them questions. Why do you need this? And he says, I'm only doing this first step from the airplane, and this rush, the energy. And he says, this is the fear that is connected with pleasure. But when I jump, and the parachute opens, and I receive a great enjoyment in this flight. You know why life is boring and scary? Dry and depression, because you made it like this. Remember your childhood. Why was it all wonderful? Because you were not afraid to run barefoot on the street. Because you were not afraid to make a stick and make it onto a fishing pole and find some fishing reel that you found on the road and put a hook on it that you found somewhere on the road. And this did not prevent you from receiving pleasure. And right now I have no money to buy a fishing pole and do some with my children, my loved ones. Step over that fear in your life and you will see how much enjoyment all of you and us will receive from it. By stepping over the fear, it's what every one of us needs, and especially a Christian. We are enjoying when we do something new. Remember how you learned to walk. Maybe you don't remember, you know, but I guarantee you it was scary. One time you ran into a wall, you don't want to stand up anymore. But then got up and you know, you just shake there a little bit and then fall again. Stand up. But he, you know, the child crawls. No, he doesn't want to stand up anymore. He knows what's going to happen. But what mom does, he stands the child up. And the next thing you know, it walks. He walks. My loved ones, you know, me in my life right now, in the last 4 years, I receive a great enjoyment. And people who is around me, they know it. They receive great enjoyment too, those people who are around me, because we go from one thing to another. You know, we already just got out of one thing, we accomplished one thing, and then we're taking another risk, and they cannot fit into other people's head, and we're making a new step forward. You know that on TV, it was scary to go on TV. You know, on radio, you know, I'm telling you my things that I went through. I'm telling you the principles that will liberate you and will give you an energy to life. You will learn to receive happiness even when you make mistakes. When you try something and make mistakes, it testifies that at least you have tried it. It testifies that you tried something. I don't like Chinese food. I don't like Italian. I don't love this. Have you tried it? Have you ever tried anything else besides your chicken or your potatoes? I don't like seafood. I don't like mussels. I don't like, you know, I like them alive. Open it and eat it. You know why? Because I took it. One time I took a risk. I said, everyone is making these faces, but you know, I've seen another guy who was eating them. You know, there is something there, I thought, you know, because the guy looked happy. I ate the first one. I swallowed it, but it wanted to come back. And it came out. And I said, no, go back in. Sit there. He's talking about seafood. And this is how it begins. So do something in your life. You know, if you won't get on your knees, then eat some sushi. Do something new. And the life will be happier. When you come to people, you start talking about what happened in the knee or where were you? I went to Hawaii. Look at the pictures. And whenever I go to different people, they have the same pictures. You know, like a nice fish in aquarium and, you know, and big belly. Is there anything else more to this life? I think there is. There is something more to this life. There is more. And so I don't care if the sushi will come back, you know, but at least you'll be happy when you'll tell this story to people. You'll see it at the end of the year. Said, you know, I ate this seafood, this sushi, and, you know, it came out. You know, your life will become happier. You know, our lives must be comprised of these moments. And, you know, but so when was the last time when you've done something great spiritually on your scale, something great on your scale? Maybe a three-day fast, hallelujah. You understand what I'm talking about? Our Christianity. I can't do it. Have you tried it? Have you tried to break yourself? Have you tried to make yourself do it? We're afraid to lose weight, afraid to enroll into a gym, afraid of everything. What did I touch? Something that I was not supposed to? And you and I, we are afraid. You understand the sermon today? Are you receiving anything today for yourself? I just want this realm, I just want to open this topic so you would understand that in my life, when it's boring, I don't need the pastor to pray for me, because when he will pray for me, everything that will happen, you will have oil on your forehead, but then no pleasure will come into your life. It'll only come when you take a risk, whatever it is. You know, go onto a roller coaster and you will remember it for at least a week. You know, okay, you understand these things. Okay, you understand these moments, that what you need to do. You know, Lord asked me a question when I was preparing this sermon and prayed and talked with God. The music was playing. It was a pleasure to be with Him. And He asked me a question. He says, son, ask my children, where did they stop? And I'll tell you where you stopped. We all stopped somewhere in the early childhood. Because yes, you had cut knees, and you hiding from your mom because she was gonna spank you, but you had pleasure. You understand me? You ate those potatoes dirty from the fire that was burnt. You know, you were getting something from the middle of it. You know, your teeth were black, and it was all over your face. The ashes were all over your face, but you were smiling because you enjoyed the life. Right now, you're intelligent. What potatoes? What are you talking about? You stopped living. You stopped to live. You ceased to live. You ceased to live. You think it's life that you have? My loved ones, allow me to disagree. If you don't want to wake up and you wait until the day is over so you can fall asleep, then your life has stopped a long time ago. You hear me? You want to be alive? Take a risk. Only God. Oh, when you at the end will pray, just let the Holy Spirit tell you what you need to do. I'm just asking God that through these sermons, maybe today I'm in a quiet form preaching today. You know, I need to explain this sermon. I just want each one of you to understand. I want the sermon to get inside of you and say, Lord, this what held me back all these years. And this time from my happiness and my life, I just stopped living. 15, 12, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I just don't live anymore. I just took a risk, gave birth to children, accomplished this, opened a business, did this, and that's it. My life is over. You know why? Very often, rich people, and we hear about this all the time on the internet and the newspapers, another millionaire shot himself or killed himself. Why? It's not enough. The life is no longer interesting. Sometimes it's difficult for us to understand. You know, we don't understand it because you still have a plasma TV to buy. You still have something on your list. You still have a goal to accomplish. Or maybe you need a new toilet in your bathroom or new curtains. And I will tell you, if this is all that keeps you alive in this planet, yeah, this is a shame, but that's what it is. You understand what I'm talking about? I'm revealing truth to you. You know, because maybe some other people won't tell you this. You know, your life concludes in just your toilet. When you, how to buy a new toilet and you put a new door in, and this is how you live. If everything was taken away from you and give you all these things, and then you'll say, what else do I need to buy? I want this maybe. Nah, you went and bought it. No, maybe I want to buy this. And you buy it. No, maybe I want to go to a Rome or somewhere. But very soon, your life will turn into a nightmare. Because you've done everything in your life. And the life is no longer interesting. And you know what? I thank God that I'm a person who needs something on a regular basis. Because if I didn't need anything, I understand when you say when you're a Christian. Yeah, when you're a Christian, you know, you get millions, but you'll. It's not. I'm talking about principle of life, of how. Why are we in depression? Why we don't want to wake up early in the morning? Because you ended your life. It's more interesting for us to live when somebody even attacks us. It's more interesting than when everything is smooth in our life and everything is correct. I call it the correct pastor, correct church, the family is correct, everything is correct, and I'm sick of it. You need to do something incorrect in order to live better. And I'm saying, when you prevail over fear and step over it, you know what I've seen in the eyes of great champions. I love sports. I used to be a sportsman myself. I was doing wrestling, and so, you know, if you're over 30 and you're from past Soviet Union, then, you know, you were doing it. So we can understand these things. So we can understand this. That when you're in sports, which one of you were at the competition with an opponent? It doesn't matter which sport it was, tennis or anything. Who was standing against an opponent? You know, one that wins is the one who has no fear. You understand? You know, the one who takes the victory is the one who has no fear. You stand against him. But he's like an animal stands against you, ready to tear you apart. And your reaction is just to protect yourself. You know, he will beat you up a little. And, you know, all you do is trying to protect yourself. But you don't care about the victory. It's important for you just to survive the match. And I know what it's like. Have you ever been in competition? And you understand? And you've seen a person. And you've seen this person's eyes and you know that he's a champion. And, you know, if you're not a champion, you fought, you lost the battle, but you survived. And you said, okay, you're okay just because you survived. Yeah, maybe you shook his hand, but, you know, and the fight was over. You understand that only people without fear can accomplish something. Only people without fear can attain something in their life. Anything. Open a business, you know how much fear you have to step over, build a house, do something great in your life, go somewhere, open something, attain something. You will always have to step over that fear. And you know, and I thought about a spiritual aspect of fear in church. You know why churches for a long time ago, usually the majority of the churches, you know, no, there are good churches, powerful churches in our state, but the majority of churches, they cease to live. People, it's not interesting for people to be, or to listen, or to be together. They just exist. Only but for one reason, because church stopped making steps of faith. The church stopped taking risk. Tell me, my loved ones, I want to ask you a question. Was the first apostle church taking risks? There is no even question about it. Just read a book of Acts. You know what brought the miracles and glory of God into their lives? This thing. That they were not afraid to take risks. That they did not. They were not afraid to go travel somewhere in some country where there was no God or a house and awaken this city or build a church. My loved ones, your church or your life will obtain colors. You will learn to live. If this one thing you will accomplish in your life, you will learn to live beautifully and you will enjoy your destiny because you prevailed over fear. I'll tell you immediately that the first years of ministry and my wife and those people who were around me, they've seen some fear. But right now, I don't know. Sometimes for me, it's scary that I have no fear. You understand what I mean? I don't know how to explain this. Sometimes I walk, for example, last example. A year ago, God told me that in Oregon, we'll have a church. And he said, and you'll be a pastor. Just imagine. Right now, you will go eat your lunch and I will go over to Oregon. But this is my life. Maybe eating bread is risk for you. And God told me, you must open it. And I said, okay, Lord, I will wait for open doors. You know, that's why, you know, when the Lord tells you, it doesn't, you know, there's time. When the Lord tells you, there's a time to sow and reap. So a month and a half ago, God told me it is time. And we went. And last Sunday, we rented a hall almost, you know, even without advertisement, there was it was filled with people. And you know, and people are just laughing at me. Maybe we will move to our next building here pretty soon. So it was a funny moment. I stood behind the pulpit. You know, all the new people, except for a couple of people that I know already. And, you know, if you want, you can come with us today, too. And you know, the cameras are rolling. And inside of me, I didn't even have a glitch or twitch. You know, I didn't feel anything, no fear. And I said, Lord, maybe, you know, you so get used to the movement when you're taking new risks. You get used to put pressure on this fear. And just stand. So the fear, if the fear ceases to have any effect on your life, remember a person, remember David, you know, he's my favorite person from the Bible. Did this small guy, did he have that fear? No, it was totally absent, completely absent. He said, how, completely absent? Yes, the fear was completely absent. Look, when you were 14 years, are you going to stand against bear in a hand-to-hand combat? Who will stand against a bear? What about a lion? 14 years old. The history says when David, when he was killing the lions and bears, he was about 14 or 16 years of age. So he was about 14, 16. So which one of you in 16 years old will stand against a bear in hand-to-hand combat? What do you need to have in your life? I will tell you honestly, I won't go. Well, God didn't tell me to do it. Let's put it that way. You know, pastors have this in their as their defense. And a lion or a bear, anything. What did he do? He just tore him apart. He just destroyed him. You know, he said, the bear and the lion I destroyed, I killed. And with this guy, the same thing will be with Goliath. So these guys, are not afraid of anything. If one of you can look inside of my heart or look inside of the people who have no fear, some people come here and they take the microphone and they shake already. You know, everything that they wanted to say, they just forget. And you know, you have to ask them questions like, okay, my name is Sveta. But when you continue to come to the microphone, keep doing it, you know, this fear just leaves you. So tell me, which one of you learned to ride a bicycle with no fear? You know, I want to see you on a bicycle for the first time without the training wheels. My loved ones, all of us, we take risks, we take fear, we go through this. And you know, I thought maybe some new adrenaline will come from opening a new church, but no, but you get used to it so much, to this fearless walking. You are enjoying when you're in God, your church, you know what I'm talking about. You're enjoying this so much that nothing can stand against you. Look at the life of Jesus Christ. Was he afraid of anything? Never in his life. When I look at Apostle Paul, okay, Jesus, you know, he's the Lord. But look, but when you take Apostle Paul, a person, my loved ones, when he depicted what was happening to him, all the prosecutions, and he was beaten, and they stoned him, and the snakes bit him, and he didn't care. A snake bit him, he didn't care. And you look at these people and you think, where is the success coming from? Where is this glory of God coming from to these people? Where is this success that it's impossible even to depict in the book? People have no fear. People have no fear that stops them from the progress. I want to read a few passages from the scripture. I want to talk about two types of fear. You know that fear stops you. Now I will tell you which fear stops. There's two types of fear. The fear always works in two categories, and I will tell you that Saul, he was destroyed by fear. Stopped and destroyed by fear. I will prove it to you from the Bible. Everything is confirmed in the Word of God. Notice one more thing. Fear stopped us invisibly. You know, at one moment, you stopped taking risks and you didn't even notice. And then a few years have passed by, and then you don't want to see this life because nothing new is happening in your life, because you have nowhere to go and nothing to attain. There is no life in your life. First type of fear, write it down. Fear will make you to do what? That you're not supposed to do. That's fear number one. It will make you to do some. 1 Samuel chapter 13 from verse 5. First Samuel chapter 13, verse 5. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel. Listen to this very carefully. Listen to this very carefully. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots and 6,000 horsemen. So Israel, I want to explain to you the picture. When Philistines came against, they had thousands of chariots and horsemen. You know how many swords Israel had? Just guess, how much weapons did Israel had? Two swords. One Saul had. Another Jonathan. They only had two swords. You know, there is fear. Huh? How to fight them with our legs or feet? No, they stood against chariots. In our time, it's like a guy with a handgun stands against a tank. You understand the effect? I'm moving. 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. That's how many people there were. There were so many people. When the men, And they came up and encamped in Mishmash in the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, and the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, and in holes, and in pits. And some of Hebrews crossed over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. So all Saul and his people, they were trembling. They were in fear. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel. So Samuel told him, "Do not start war until I will come and will not bless you." So God must say how to fight. In Israel, in Old Testament, you understand that kings always ask advice of the prophet, you know, from which side to attack, what to do, what not to do. So there was a date set, so people were running away, and the Samuel was not coming. So it's number one, is fear will make you do something you don't want. It will not just stop you, it will also destroy your life, because it will make you do things you don't need to do. Look closer. Then he waited 7 days according to the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that you did not come within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, and I said," don't think. He just thought. You know, the fear will make you think that what you don't need to think. Amen? The fear will make you do what you're not supposed to do. How many of our Christians are being... They run away from the fear. So says the Lord. They run around and go to different states. And, you know, stop lying to yourself. Be honest. I'm going to Florida to earn some money, not to run away from here, because God told you to. So says the Lord. Go to a desert. I don't know what you can find in the desert. When I came to the United States in 1991, I remember they had these prophecies that you have to run to some desert. And then we had Alaska. So says the Lord, go to Alaska. No, it's not the Lord. It's the land that's cheap over there. It's the people. You can hunt, you can fish over there. You can do whatever you want over there. So, and the Lord says, stop lying. Fear will make you do something you're not supposed to. You will start lying. You will run away somewhere where... You remember Solomon? He wrote about this. You run away when nobody's chasing you. These are our people. But Samuel said, "What have you done?" Then I said, "The Philistines will come down on me in Gilgal, and I have not made a supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled, and I offered a burnt offering." All the fear told him this. The fear will start prophesying to you. The fear will tell you that Philistines are coming. So he was afraid. We remember this story a little bit. You remember one story. Only one guy put fear into all the Philistines, and they all ran away. You know, if this one person can put so much fear, then what can the rest do? God can do through 300 of people, destroy all the army. Pay no attention who's going where, who's afraid, who's going where. I will stand firm on the word of God and wait for my time. Because God, when God will come, everything will change. Amen, church. Fear is not supposed to propel you where you not need to go. And fear is not supposed to stop you where you need to move. There's two type of fear. This is what failed Saul. Some people said that Saul failed in his sin. Yeah, it was a little portion of it. But, you know, God has removed him because he was afraid. His heart was afraid. You know, maybe a small child has a better heart than he, more valiant heart than he did. Okay, people are waving to me. I'm running out of time. You know when the sermon is interesting, but you have no time. Yeah, the time is limited. So, and Samuel said, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which He commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue." Look what happened. God has moved. His failing, Saul's failing came from disobedience because the fear came. How did God could test this king, whether this king is fit for a battle? Test him with fear. And remember, this was a long time ago at the end. At the end when Goliath came out, and it was written that Saul and all his army, they trembled and they were afraid. For 40 days they stood there. Fear. That's what holds you back from your success. Or on the contrary, this is what pushes you in the situation that will fail you. But don't be afraid. The Lord is with you. For Lord, but now your kingdom of Israel shall not continue. The Lord has sought for Himself a man after His own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over His people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Fear number two, write it down if you do. Fear will retain you from what you're supposed to do. This was a fear that pushed Saul to do something he was not supposed to do. He made a mistake through the fear, and then God says, your kingdom will not continue. Second type of fear, which will always take place in our life, remember this is a second type of fear. It will hold you back from what you need to do. Let's continue. First Samuel chapter 15. First Samuel 15, verse 16. Again, Samuel, same Saul. And now the story repeats. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." So Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and I brought back Agag, the king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is iniquity, is idolatry." So God has put a period in the end of the sentence that he will not... Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed of the commandment of the Lord and your word, because I have feared the people and obeyed their voice." You know that our life, you know, we don't manage our lives. Those people who are we afraid of, they manage our life. We're afraid to go to the church. What are they going to say about us? We're afraid to go there. We're afraid to do this. We're afraid to go here and there, or go to encounter, just because what will people say? And by this fear, your whole destiny has been controlled. It's so, you know, but you need to realize that this life is given to you and you need to live it. And you need to be satisfied in your own destiny. I will enjoy my life. Maybe around me there's going to be two people, but these two people will be glad for me and will bless me. Then I have 15 people around me that control me all my life and destroy my life. And now, two things, two types of fear. Fear that will make you do something you're not supposed to, or fear that will prevent you from doing that you're supposed to. To prevent you from doing something you're supposed to. So you need to get rid of the fear and you need to learn to live. Are you receiving it today? Give God glory today. Let's all stand up and let's glorify our God. I'm just praying to God that in this week, each one of you would look into this realm. I'm not giving you these sermons just so you can go and eat your potatoes right now. I want you to understand, when you will deal with this, you will restore order in your life. You will restore order in all the realms that are not satisfied yet, in the realm of being with God, and you will do something for God and you will enjoy it. So just pray to God and ask Him to reveal those realms of fear that are still in control in your life. Lord, we thank You. We thank You, Lord. We worship You, Lord. We thank You, Jesus, for this life, for the pleasure. Help us to prevail over this fear.